feel love like coming to me. Show me what I need to see.
Welcome to the Small Victories Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline Victoria, an inspirational thought leader that offers transformational perspectives based on my unique experiences as a woman born without arms and legs. I feel like my life has been full of small victories that has led me to discover the greatness within. I believe that there is no summit upon which we reach our greatness. I believe it is a culmination of small victories achieved moment by moment when we turn toward the inward battle where we get to choose despair or hope, misery or miracles, defeat or victory. My goal is to awaken your potential, your purpose, and your power so that you can discover the greatness that lives within you. Think of this podcast as your weekly portion of tools, stories, and teachings that help you reflect on the small victories in your life. Thanks for tuning in and let's begin. Thanks for joining another episode of the Small Victories Podcast. I'm your host, Pauline Victoria. Is it selfish to put yourself first? Or could it be an act of service to prioritize your own self-care? That is the lesson our upcoming guest had to learn as she went through the roller coaster of relationships. In this episode, we'll be talking with Martine Felton, who has embraced her gift as a natural intuitive to guide her to a self-love mindset. Martine started her journey with tarot and oracle cards in 2018. Since then, she has deepened her experience and knowledge with Reiki and crystal singing bowls. Martine strives to help people get more connected with their higher selves through spiritual guidance, various healing modalities, and embodying a self-love mindset. Martine, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
I love when I have a variety of guests on my show, and I love talking about anything spirituality and the woo-woo. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to go there today, but I don't think you've been there your whole life. I'd love to hear your story about how you came to this place of discovering your natural intuitive gifts.
I became more conscious of it and realized that it was going to be a part of my life in 2018. But thinking back to when I was younger, it was always there, my intuitiveness. I just never really paid attention and I never cared to really connect the dots. Like I would have certain dreams or certain synchronicities would happen and I would think about certain things and they'd come to pass. And I always just thought it was coincidence or that was just normal. And so I never really thought about it until 2018. When I had lost a job and then I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. Obviously, I needed another job, but at the same time, I felt like I was being called to do more and to look beyond the 9 to 5. That's when I started my podcast, Martine's Musings. And I really felt that I was being called to just be a voice and speak out and kind of take people along with me on my journey. And then the other piece to that was I went for a reading with a medium who told me that I was a medium as well and that I should buy a deck of cards and start working with the deck of cards and learning like the tarot. And I was like, no way, because I was always the one going to get readings. So never thought that, you know, I would be able to give people readings. And he was like, oh, yes, yes. And then I started thinking and really thinking about it. And I said, you know, I am highly intuitive, but never, you know, I didn't really think anything of it. I was just on my 9 to 5 track. You know, I was in the publishing industry and I still am. And that's what I was focused on, is climbing the corporate ladder. And so anyway, I bought the cards and things just started happening. Like when I would pull out the cards, I started feeling all of these sensations and things that I've never felt before. And I was using the cards on myself because at the time I was going through some real financial hardships. And then my mom was diagnosed with dementia and her condition kind of escalated very quickly. And so that was hard for me because there were points where she would go out and not come back. And one of the times she was gone for an extended period of time, which I felt my guides, my spirit guides with me, guiding me through that experience, the experience of having to put her in a nursing home because I couldn't take care of her at the time. I don't have any room. And that whole experience of feeling guilty for doing that and having to put her in and going through that process with her. I felt my guides with me that whole time, covering me and guiding me through that process. So that was the beginning of it. And then I just kept educating myself with cards, getting decks. I've amassed a pretty large collection of cards. I've got into Reiki and I went for a couple of Reiki sessions myself. And another medium friend of mine was like, hey, let's learn this. Because online, as I started learning about a mediumship and things like that, I started taking like workshops and joining mediumship circles. So I met a soul group of mediums who were learning as well. One of my friends there was like, hey, let's learn Reiki. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So, you know, mediums tend to be well as giving readings, but we also tend to work with energy too. So that's in the path of mediumship is being an energy worker as well. And then the crystal singing bowls, I just love those. I used to listen, and I still do listen to YouTube videos of certain sound healers, and I just fell in love with the frequency. And I immediately resonated with it. And I saw the difference in my vibe, in my vibration, how it just really helped me. And so I decided to learn that too and add that to my repertoire.
You're an avid learner. I love that because,
I am. I love to learn, and I'm a little nerdy. People don't know that about me.
No, I love it because it's easy for a lot of us who have been in the self-help or personal development industry and as a student and then a teacher later on, it's easy to get complacent or feel like we know it all. So to put ourselves continuously in a position of learning, that's really important to keep us on point.
Yes, absolutely.
I wanted to ask you a question about how you mentioned how a lot of mediums work with energy. And as someone who I feel like I am pretty intuitive, but I'm also an empath. And so, how do you protect your energy as you help others work through their energy?
I do a series of different things. Like when I'm doing readings, I have like this little spray bottle of Florida water, which is like a spiritual cleansing kind of cologne or perfume. You can buy it at a botanica or a metaphysical store. You know, so I spray, I sage. Those are the physical things that I do. I meditate every day. I always ask for protection and guidance, but mostly protection, you know, from certain entities, from certain archangels that I resonate with. And also energetically, if I'm giving someone a reading, right, it's really easy for the reader to get really deep into what the person is talking about and start sensing their energy. Because I am empathic too. And I just try to stay in the moment and kind of put up that energetic boundary to not get so drawn in to that person's plight or situation that I take it on myself. And then if that happens, then I'm not really open enough to help them. So I try to keep an energetic boundary at the same time while still having empathy. It's weird. Like I can't explain it. You can only experience it.
Well, you know, because I wonder, you mentioned that you've worked with light workers, and oftentimes light workers on the opposite side is dark and shadows. And so sometimes when we put ourselves into the light, then there's more vulnerability to the shadows.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm curious how you work with that and help make sure that you aren't subjective to things that may not serve you as a light worker.
That's a really good point and question. My belief is that if you raise your frequency or raise your vibration to a certain level, I'm in the belief that the dark can't really a certain point where they can reach you. So that's why I do my energetic and spiritual hygiene with my rituals of spraying myself and saging and Palo Santo and a host of just other things that I do, and I pray and I meditate a lot because I really believe that there is a certain point where they can't touch you if you elevate yourself as high as you can there. And I'm not saying that there isn't dark or shadows, but you can intentionally protect yourself from that. I know that a lot of people tend to come into this spiritual world and they think it's all love and light, but they forget to protect themselves and set boundaries. And that's very, very important, especially if I'm working with the spirit realm, because you need to know, or you need to be very comfortable with the communication, the information that you're receiving, and where you're receiving it from.
Got it. Have you ever been scared of your gifts?
At first, I really was, because at first, when I was discovering it, I was really open and my clairvoyance was really like on point. I would close my eyes and then I would see faces, and it was a mess at first. It was really a mess. And but then I learned that a lot of the visions that I was seeing, especially when it was like a face of someone, they weren't necessarily scary, or they weren't necessarily meaning to scare me. That's the thing. Like people, we could be scared if we see a spirit or a shadow somewhere and be scared, but that energy could be harmless. It's just there. You know what I mean? It's just, you don't know. So, yeah. So I realized that a lot of the times in the beginning, when I was seeing things, that wasn't necessarily scary. It was spirits, spirit guides, ancestors. So, of course, we're going to initially feel scared. We're like, whoa, what was that? You know?
How do you know? Because I've had experiences where I've seen, like in my first house that I had in California, there was always something that I saw in a very specific place, but I never felt scared. But is there a way to discern whether the shadows are well-intentioned or just there or
Well,
mean-intentioned?
yeah, for me and for what other mediums that have mentored, that I have learned from, everybody says the same thing. It's about how you feel. If you're feeling scared, that and if you're having an innate feeling of fear, then chances are then this entity or spirit is, you know what I'm saying, has ill intent, like you said. But also you have to differentiate whether is it them or is it you. So it takes time to build that rapport with yourself and understand what it is you're feeling. So, yeah, that's what I've learned, and that's what I've gone with. If I'm really scared, am I scared, or how do I feel in the presence of this spirit? Because
Well,
I'm more so of a dreamer, right? And when I have dreams, like my passed on loved ones will visit me in my dreams, and they'll be great, and I'll wake up feeling great, you know, feeling really good, and wow, that was so cool. And then I have dreams about certain situations that happen, and I'll feel scared. So that's when I know that I really need to pay attention to, like it was a warning or it was like a call for something, call to action to do something, because I will wake up like, oh my God, and feel panicked. And that's when I know the difference.
I can imagine that it takes a certain level of self-trust to be able to drop into those feelings and become present to them so that way you can use them as a guide on whether or not you're on the right path or if something else is coming into your space in the 3D world or beyond, you know. So, how did you come to that level of trusting yourself versus?
I'm still coming to that.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
I trust myself, and then it comes and goes. Do you know what I mean? Especially when I pull cards for myself, and this is why I don't like to pull cards for myself. I rather go to another reader if I want to know something about what for me, because I'm too invested in the outcome and I want a non-tainted reading. Because if I'm pulling cards for myself, if I'm looking for a job or want something to happen and I really want it, then my energy can really kind of dictate the cards. And I don't want that to happen. I want it to be authentic. So, yeah, trusting yourself is, I feel like for me, I go back and forth with it. There'll be times where I'm like, yes, that is spot on. Yes, that's what I need to do. Or, and then other times you question, I question is because I have a stake in the outcome.
Got it. So, do you feel like self-trust is related to a self-love mindset?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely is, because trusting yourself is like giving yourself permission to be. Do you know what I mean? And if you're in a relationship, I personally don't think that anybody can love anybody if they don't trust them. You know, I can't love my partner and not trust them at the same time. It just doesn't go. So I feel like it's the same with ourselves. We have to trust ourselves in order to even begin to embody that self-love mindset.
What other aspects are there that create the self-love mindset?
One of them is boundaries, which I know everyone has issues with setting boundaries, knowing when to say no, and putting yourself first. Others is like knowing, trusting yourself, setting boundaries, and really tapping in, giving yourself permission to tap into your truest self. And I know that sounds kind of woo-woo, but what I mean by that is allowing yourself to not go by how other people see you or what other people think that you should be doing, if you, what your parents think you should be doing, what your partners or friends think you should be doing, just giving yourself permission to be yourself, you know what I mean? And putting all the external factors to the side.
It's interesting because it's such a simple thing, right? Just be yourself. We hear it all the time.
Yeah, just be yourself.
But there's such a resistance, or I don't know how to be myself. Like, who am I? What is myself like? And so, do you have any thoughts or guidance on what might be a first step that someone could take in order to really understand or identify what does being myself really look like?
Well, for me, being myself really looks like not caring what people think. That's first and foremost, because that was a big thing for me, is caring what others thought about me and being a people pleaser. So one of the things is stop people pleasing and stop caring what others think. And it takes a while, like it's easier said than done, because it took me a while to really even feel like I can tell people that I'm an intuitive. because at first people that knew me before and had no indication of this part of me, now they're like, what is she doing? Has she gone mad? You know, what is this? What are you doing now? And it's kind of hard to transition and take people with you. And sometimes some people are not going to come with you as you elevate.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of my audience or listeners are entrepreneurs. And I think that's something that a lot of people, as they're, I love that, elevate themselves, mm-hmm. either on a self or personal development side and or on the professional side, going after their dreams, that's mm-hmm. totally elevating. But it's something, you know, that people that have known you for a long time don't know how to relate to that person.
Yes.
And so there's this gap that exists now between you and other relationships, and being okay with understanding, like, not everyone's going to come with me.
Yep.
And there may be more people that will join my journey with me. And I love mm-hmm. that you created your podcast, not in the aftermath of like, oh yeah, I'm good, I've healed, I'm totally dialed into what I do, but rather from a place of, I'm on this journey and I welcome you to come along on this journey with me. So you mm-hmm. essentially created your own community rather than just relying on past relationships to rally you. So to me, it sounds like guided intervention.
Yeah, but it was totally guided intervention, because I was not thinking about a podcast, but something kept nudging me to do it. And I dealt with a lot major imposter syndrome, because I felt like, who's going to listen to me? I basically don't know what I'm doing. But you learn. Yes, you learn as you go. And that took a long time to set into me, that a lot of times people don't have their shit together. They're just doing it as you go. And that's fine. That's the whole point.
Yeah. And I think, though, you know, in a way, and let me know if you're listening to this right now, if you appreciate when you have teachers who come into your space and they don't have it all together, right? They're just taking imperfect action. They're saying or making mistakes. Their funnel doesn't work. Their emails aren't going through, like, whatever. But you so appreciate them, because to watch them take imperfect but inspiring action.
Yeah.
It's so inspiring to watch, to be able to see someone else having the courage to step into their dream and say, I don't know how, I don't know who, I don't know how this is all going to turn out, but going anyway, because that nudge, that whisper, I can totally relate to you, Martine, about like that nudge of just like, just do this idea. Like, and it's so beautiful if you can trust it. But I really think it comes down to that trusting yourself and loving yourself. And I could see how those two are so related, because you can't love someone you don't trust. And I love that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
As an intuitive, as someone that deals with various healing modalities and energy work, what is possible for someone if they're willing to open up to this type of approach to their life or business?
I think so much is possible. You know what I mean? So much is possible in terms of growth, inner growth, external growth, you know, monetarily. I'm going to say something a little bit woo-woo again, but we are here. We're all on a journey of ascension. This is what I believe. And I feel like we're all here to go through our individual journeys, learn our lessons, grow our souls, evolve, and things like that. And I think that once you start opening up yourself to more of the spiritual and less of the mind, drop into your heart more, I feel like that is the way to go. That opens up so much for you when you're in your heart more instead of your mind. Because I feel like your mind can just take you but so far, and your heart really opens up so much more for you. And so when you take on spirituality, when you open yourself up to learning more about what's going on in the ethers or astrology, tarot, healing modalities, I feel like it just opens up your aura and your energetic field to bring in so much more than if you weren't. And if you're not, that's fine too. If people don't believe, then they still want to stay on their 3D path, that's fine too. But when you open up yourself more to, what's going on in a more deeper way, you're able to attract so much more.
Yeah, I know from my personal experience, my best ideas didn't come from me. They always came from something bigger than me that dropped into my head, like a download. Like,
Oh, yeah.
like I always picture that. Do you remember that show, That's So Raven? And she'd have
Yes.
that like moment and it like focuses on the
Yes.
eye. It's like one of those, I'm
Yes.
like, what? Okay, got
Yeah.
it. And, it's when those ideas drop into me and I'm like, okay, I got it. But how do I need to do this? And what seems to happen is that once I say yes to that idea, then the resources or the know-how tend to like just come into my purview accident, or I just happen to go down a rabbit hole that led to
Yes,
another rabbit hole.
absolutely.
It's exactly what I needed. So it's this, I love connecting spirituality to my business because, it can feel like you're alone. Like solopreneurs, we're out there and it really can be a lonely world when you just rely on yourself or just the, steps one, two, three, and it's so linear. But really, the best ideas come when you allow yourself to be open to what else is possible beyond me. And how I can just be used as a vessel. And I see you like that. It's like you're a vessel through which you can help create that bridge. You're like the telephone line between the spiritual realm and the person that is asking for your help, right? And you're able to help give some guidance or, what have you. But if people were wanting to connect with you, I am going to put all your website and contact information into the show notes.
Okay,
But
perfect. Thank you.
yeah, of course. What are some things that people can contact you for? Who are your ideal clients?
My ideal clients are people who are wanting some guidance, who want a tarot reading, or if you want to sort of open up to Reiki healing and sound healing. And kind of see what it's all about. That for me, that's my ideal client because I feel like I don't necessarily want the person who's been going for Reiki sessions for years. I kind of want the newbie, the new
Okay.
person, the person who's feels like they're on a spiritual journey but doesn't know where to start. Because I know that for me, when I started with tarot, then came astrology. And then came numerology. And then I started reading all these different spiritual texts and I would go down rabbit holes. And then I learned recently, in the last maybe 6 months or so, I printed out my human design chart and I'm still trying to figure it out.
What are you?
A manifesting generator.
Me too. Very cool.
Yeah. So I'm still trying to figure out what that means for me in how I should move in my business.
Yes.
I still haven't figured that out yet, but I feel like that's the type of person that I want, like a newbie, someone who's just coming into this and wants some help.
Yeah. And what I love about all those things that you said is that when we can start embracing our natural design, whether it be human design or astrology or different things that we're like, I love gene keys and all of that stuff. So maybe that'll be another thing on your list in the future. But it allows you to be more natural in your business, right? Versus trying
Yes,
to
and that's what I
stick.
want to do.
Yeah, rather than trying to stick a peg into a square hole, you're like, well, I'm never going to fit that square. I'm a circle. And so thank you for that, because there are people out there who might be listening to this who feel like the stuff is intriguing, but I don't know. There's like still a little bit of doubt. And when things start happening to us, or we start learning about something, like even the fact, if you're listening to this right now, the fact that you're listening to this right now, do you think it's an accident? No.
It's not.
No.
It's a
No.
sign.
Here are this episode's takeaways. Self-love is not putting what other people think of you over what you believe about yourself. It is just fully permitting yourself to be you. Not everyone is going to come with you as you elevate yourself, and that's okay. People don't have everything together. Most times, everyone is just doing it and learning as they go. It's not about knowing everything and executing it perfectly. It's about having the courage to take the imperfect action to inspire others to do the same. Sometimes you need to silence the mind and just open up your heart. The best things come in our lives when we drop any expectations, all of our judgments and opinions, and allow ourselves to just explore and discover something new. Different things are put into our purview for a purpose. And, I would encourage you to at least open yourself up to possibly a conversation. If you want to start a conversation with yourself or a question, start asking questions and then reach out to someone like Martine who can help guide the process, because there's a lot out there and it can feel overwhelming about where do I start? Why am I even doing this? But she can help connect you with your goals and your desires and how tapping into the spiritual realm and the energies could support you in the most beautiful way to reach your goals. And that's something that we do here on the Small Victories podcast, is bring you content and experts who can support you in reaching your goals. And spirituality is one aspect of it. I personally think it's a huge aspect of it,
Me too.
but and it's what I tend to lead with. But most people may not know that. A lot of it, people are like, oh no, it's mindset. And yes, and the spiritual realm has such an important role to play if we allow it to play in our lives. If you're listening to this podcast right now, I want you just to open yourself up and ask yourself, what do I have to lose by exploring? And sometimes the best things come in our lives when we drop any expectations, all of our judgments and opinions, and allow yourself to just play and explore and discover something new. And when we can come from that place and make ourselves available, then we can be truly victorious. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Small Victories podcast. And until we meet again, be blessed.
Angel of light, come into me. Show me what I need to see. You are my pathway into the night. Lead me from shadows to light. You smile. Spirits rose up. You to me. Show me what I need to see.